This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We continue deeper in what the Jews call the Book of 12, and Dr. Wyatt will expound on the disastrous life of Hosea, but his vision of a God that desires steadfast love.
Thank you, Dennis. The reading by Sharon is from Hosea, which has a singular message from what can be only described as a very difficult life. This is an incredible story, and I pray you will stay with us.
The Lord said to Hosea, "Go take to yourself a wife of harlotry, and have children of harlotry, for the land commits great harlotry by forsaking the Lord. Yet I will bring her into the wilderness. Speak tenderly to her. There she shall answer, as in days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. In that day, says the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be mentioned by name no more. I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love, and in mercy. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, that he may heal us. He has stricken, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. But your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God, rather than burnt offerings."
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. As we continue our journey through the Book of the 12, the Jewish title for what we know as the so-called Minor Prophets, we turn to Hosea, again a prophet who prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II of the northern kingdom of Israel, and would prophesy up to Hezekiah's reign in Judah, or the latter part of the 9th century before Christ. Again, it is a unique book, marked especially by the marriage of Hosea to Gomer. No ordinary nuptials, for it is to be one permeated with divine revelation, whereby we are to learn of the depth, steadfastness, and the immense suffering of God's love. Hosea's life becomes the means to see the persistent nature of that love. No one before has so spoken so repeatedly and eloquently of God's love for his people, nor cast the divine love in the image so distinctly of marriage. The very framework of this book is God's mandate for Hosea to take a wife, one who is destined to be unfaithful and have children who will turn from God. It is first then a portrayal of God's pain and dismay for Israel's repetitive and constant unfaithfulness, and thus the required judgment. yet God's desire always to redeem and win his people back to himself. It is often a message of blunt, heavy, almost overwhelming bleakness. The story drips of doom, despair, and death, yet breaking through are always the rays of hope and restoration. Here are the words of a prophet that sees in his own pain and agony a glimpse of what the Lord God goes through with his relationship with his people. As Hosea hears the word of the Lord, "Take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits great harlotry for forsaking the Lord. The first son is named Jezreel," which we are to understand is that the monarchy, the house of Jehu, is under a judgment for its constant oppression, and that their kingdom is to come to an end. Then a daughter is born and named Lo-Ruhamah, no pity, for the Lord will have no pity upon the house of Israel. And then is born another son who is named Lo-Ami, which is the cruelest of all. You are not my people, for Israel is not my people, saith the Lord, and I am not your God. The words are inflexible and seem hard, and here is the summation of Hosea's book. Here at the beginning, a moving and stark message that God has given up upon his people. Yet this is no more than said than the message changes. The number of the people of Israel shall be like the sands of the sea, neither measured nor numbered. Only in the place where it was said, "You are not my people," it shall be said, "Sons of the living God," unquote. Yes, the future holds a secure and glorious promise. A day of salvation is coming. But will it not be in a very different time, when one can unite all the fragments and all will prosper under a new king, after the corrupt and unfaithful kings are judged and put away with? Can we not see the final fulfillment of Hosea's book in the one in whom the promise to Abraham is fulfilled? It is he who is the true seed of Abraham, when all nations can join in the great day of Jezreel. It is when not just Israelites are restored to God, but of those people who would never be called his people, but will be called on that day the sons of God. So now Hosea can refer to the son as my people and his sister as she who has obtained pity. But still the betrayed husband has to punish his wayward wife for her infidelities. But after hedging her with thorns, building a wall about her that she not find her lovers, it is then that she will say, "I will return to my husband, for it was better for him than with me now," unquote. The wife will be restored, for Hosea has never ceased to love her. Here is law and gospel, warning and appeal, judgment and hope. It is a portrayal of Hosea as the much put upon husband, but still in love and willing to restore her as of old. And thus the portrayal of God as other than cold and dispassionate, but longing, wishing, and loving. Yet Israel is still not ready. She has yet to learn, yet to wish as did Gomer for her husband. She yet remains unfaithful, unkind, and as Hosea will say, "No knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." So God rejects you from being a priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children, unquote. And of course, we know of no one who is destroyed for such lack of knowledge, because they have rejected the truth, do we? My people inquire of things made of wood, and their divining rods give them oracles. It is a spirit of harlotry that leads them astray. And understand, it is just not wooden idols or foolish ancient means of soothsaying that lead one astray. It is all what Scripture knows as idolatry. It is what the people without understanding worship, hold in high esteem, what people believe is all important. And do we not even now call all such appropriately idolizing? It is what brings a people to ruin, denying their God. Hosea will in his way describe Israel in their unfaithfulness, as a fleeting love, like a morning cloud, like dew that goes away early, unquote. All when God desires to heal them and bind up their wounds. For what God desires is steadfast love, not sacrifices, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings, unquote. God's call is simple, sincere, and yet his promises expansive. So Hosea pounds home the truth. None call upon him. They do not seek him. He would redeem him, but they speak lies against the Lord. Instead, they turn to Baal, unquote. And we hear in Hosea's words God's lament. How long will it be until they are pure, unquote. Such callousness, indifference, and faithlessness bring its own retribution. It has to. They will, as Hosea says, sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. For Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. But I, the Lord, will send a fire upon his cities. It shall devour his strongholds. They consecrate themselves to Baal and become despicable like the things they love. Ephraim's glory, meaning Israel's glory, shall fly away like a bird. They nurture their children, yet I will bereave them till none are left. Woe to them when I depart from them, unquote. Then Hosea adds, my God will cast them off because they have not hearkened to him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. They utter mere words with empty oaths. So therefore judgment springs up like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field, unquote. Hosea's words are, as I said, hard, grievous to bear, and will become a reality for Israel. But as Hosea buys his wife, as he redeems her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and half of barley, it is required that she dwell as his, no longer play the harlot, and thus Hosea can promise that he will also be with her. Likewise, Israel will suffer, dwelling long without kings, princes, without sacrifice, without any of the things necessary for temple service. But later Hosea says they will return, seek their God, and David their king. They shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. It is these latter days that we should grasp. There is but one Davidic king, the Lord's Christ. The promise is renewed by a prophetic word. Like grapes in the wilderness, God found Israel. Like the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. God brought them out of Egypt, as when Israel was a child, God loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. It was I, God declares, who taught Ephraim to walk. I took him up in my arms, but they did not know that I was the one who healed them, unquote. And even at that, they made themselves detestable to God, as unlovable as the very things that consumed them. One will recognize the use by Matthew of the summons or the gathering of God of his child or son out of Egypt. Here Matthew uses the meaning of God's guidance and protection, the second special exodus from Egypt. It is what the words mean and becomes for the Christian church words with a double meaning. Yet we must also see that Israel, the more that God calls her, the more they went away. My people are bent on turning away from me. It is why a yoke has been prepared, and none shall remove it, unquote. Hosea sees the inevitability of Israel's exile, bondage, and humiliation. But still he declares God's deep pain and remorse. As the prophet says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I am a God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, unquote. The answer that God seeks is rather simple. As the prophet says, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to love and justice, and wail continually for your God, unquote. Yet, as God declares, they sin more and more, make for themselves molten images, idols skillfully made of silver, and humble themselves to idols in perversion of true worship. But it is the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior, unquote. He knew them in the wilderness, but when they had their fill, they forgot their God. So God says, I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard lurking along the way. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs, unquote. The message is all too clear. He wants to heal, restore, bind up the wounds, but they will not. They prefer the Baals, the false, the emptiness. They would limp along with an anemic faith when God desires to lift, bring wholeness, to be a husband, to bestow upon them real love. It is not about sacrifices, burnt offerings, not about our church services and how they were run, but it is about steadfast love and justice. It is not about papering over what becomes an anemic and pathetic Christianity, but it is about seeking the truth of God. And our prophet Hosea closes his book almost crying out, Return, O Israel, to the Lord thy God. You have stumbled because of your iniquity. Return, no longer call the works of your hand our God, but turn and find mercy. He will heal the unfaithfulness and love you freely. You shall blossom like the lily. O return and dwell beneath his shadow and flourish as a garden, unquote. Hosea's last words are a timely challenge even for us. Whatever is wise, let him understand these things. Those discerning, let him know this. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk therein, but transgressors stumble therein, unquote. Let us be discerning. Hosea spoke to ancient Israel, and they heeded not his words and ceased to be. No blossoming, no mercy, no walking in his shadow. It was 2,800 years ago, but I can't believe God's desires or promises are any different now. Iniquity, idolatry, twisting the gospel, denying and rejecting the truth of the Lord God is to remove oneself from God's blessing, his healing, his fruitfulness, and his love. Lord, let us dwell in thy shadow. Let us never twist thy word, pervert it, or seek to present the truth of this faith called Christianity as anything less than what thy word declares it to be. Lord, we want thy blessing. We want thy directive. We want thy empowerment by thy Spirit. For indeed, one day thy kingdom will come, and we would be part of it. Lord, indeed, equip us and enable us by thy Spirit, by thy Son, Jesus Christ, and by the Father who is in heaven, all for thy glory forever. Amen and amen.
Hosea's life and his message were unique and profound in its revelation of the full depth and faithfulness of God's love. We must never lose sight of the extent to which God has gone to woo and win us for his own. That is why Thomas is offering this week his remarkable study titled Profound Precepts and Promises. Here, using one verse, we find the amazing truth of what God has destined for those who believe in Jesus Christ. This is a fascinating study, so do write and ask for Profound Precepts and Promises. It can be yours at no charge. We want every one of you to know just how much we appreciate all of our dear friends who support this ministry with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you will sincerely consider being one of those who would support this work, enabling us to proclaim the wonderful Word of God throughout the world, and to underwrite as well our children's homes and evangelists in so many nations. So please do consider our invitation to join the Wings of Healing family. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.com. thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. What a way to portray the love of God, yet it reveals the way Israel too often existed in relationship to the Lord, in unfaithfulness and depravity. Yet God still forgave them, even loved them. What an amazing portrayal of the steadfast love of God, as this from Martin of the Bronx can testify. Dr. Wyatt, my family has asked that I write you, for you have written and encouraged them for a long time, to keep praying for me. It has paid off. Yes, I am free of the drugs that have been destroying my life and done great harm to my loved ones. But I did see the light, the effect of my drugs and alcohol abuse, sought help, and with God helping me, I'm free. And boy, do I intend to stay clean. Thank you from all of us. What a great note of freedom. It is why one does this ministry. And if you need prayer, do write. Dennis will provide our addresses one more time. But now we have this performance by Nathan Pacheco of a haunting melody titled His Love. And until next week, do know that God loves you.
There is a man who heals the soul, I heard them say. Daily he walks with those who cannot find their way. Only this heart knows how I long to feel his touch. Can he fill my empty cup? So many voices call, it's hard to find my way. With so many weaknesses, I struggle every day. Found him, those who feel his healing hand deep in their hearts, they understand and they know his love can heal.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are always available, and Dr. Wyatt is offering as well a copy of his book, Profound Precepts and Promises. This is a wonderful and insightful look at one verse that reviews the full purpose of God for those that believe. You will want a copy of this study, so do write and ask for Profound Precepts and Promises. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.